Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Well, just got the email from the head of media relations for the New England Patriots. Patriots practice and media availability today has been canceled.
The Patriots have received word of one positive COVID-19 test, and they are awaiting confirmation of a possible second positive test.
Put every team in a hotel. National Football League Players Association, I'm begging you.
Mm-hmm. Tom Pelissero tweeted out, it is another Patriots player who tested positive for COVID-19.
You think teams should be starting to have to forfeit games if they have too many positive tests?
And this is the only way to really put the onus on teams. Hey, you're going to lose a game if your team's not healthy.
And if you want your players to get their game checks this year, you will tell every player, you're going to a hotel and you're staying there for the rest of the season. The league will do it. Coaches are going to be upset about it. So what? Too bad.
What I love about this coronavirus, we have people that have to shame everybody. They have to blame everybody else. Like, you did something wrong. It wasn't a virus that crept up on you and invaded your body. No, no, no. You know what you did? You put yourself right in there.
Yeah.
And you put everybody else in harm's way. The Mike Florios of the world who were screaming and yelling and saying, we have to put people in a hotel and never let them open the window. What are we doing here, people?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
I mean, I don't think that that's an option for them. I don't think they're going to do it.
They're not going to do the bubble.
I think now that we're overreacting because this is very serious, but the Patriots have been the one team that cannot quite get over it. They just can't get any distance from them. At least the Titans, I mean, it took them a while, but man.
Well, they can do a better job keeping everybody under control in their own facility because the facility is all set up for this stuff. If you go to another place, you're going to have two different teams there, right, for a playoff game and separate, you know, facilities. I don't think any of that stuff really works. The problem you have is keeping your people from your players from going out at night and getting involved with other people. So let me just give you the last 10 days. I saw that Zach Cox from Nesson had this. This is the last 10 days, the New England Patriots, since Gilmore tested positive. So that was a week ago Tuesday. On Wednesday, no practice facility closed. Thursday, no practice facility closed. Same thing Friday. Saturday, there was a light practice with masks. Sunday, nope, no practice facility closed. Game postponed. Monday, no practice facility closed. Tuesday, no practice facility closed. Wednesday, there was no practice, but the players came in for rotating workouts. Thursday, the one day they had practice and virtual meetings, and as you just heard in the open, practice was canceled today. How do you play a game on Sunday? Should they play this game on Sunday? And how do you play the game on Sunday when you've had one practice in 10 days?
That's a lot right there. There's a lot of questions. I'm going to go with the easy one, the easiest ones. One, yes, they should play the game. And two, they will play the game. It will be held on Sunday. Every sign, everything I'm looking at, everything I'm reading, all the hints that I've seen throughout the day, going back to last night to this morning, they're playing this game on Sunday. They're playing it at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and no one's going to say a damn thing about it.
To be determined. How's that? To be determined. So you wake up today, you see this from Mike Reese, reporting with Field Yates, the Patriots will be canceling their Friday practice after a positive COVID test per source. There's also a second test they're waiting to confirm in a positive. As the day went on, obviously it was James Ferentz has been placed on the reserve COVID list. So,
but we don't know if he's the one that tested positive.
No, but somebody was positive, and somebody you can call it a coincidence if you'd like.
Correct.
That James Ferentz, there's their second one they're waiting on. So, but as of right now, you're hearing reports out of Denver. The league is telling them the game is on as scheduled. Shefty's saying the same thing. And I would say the one thing the Patriots have going for them, because this isn't a situation like, say, Indy, right? They had four guys, apparently. They're all false positives, whatever. But on Friday, you find out you got four guys. Jesus, we were in there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know. So now I'm concerned. I'm concerned four turns into eight, turns into 12, right? But with the New England Patriots, you can even say that maybe about the Titans. So they had Cowart on Sunday. We know about the five-day incubation period. Here we are 5 days later, and you got a guy. But have these guys been around each other at all?
I just gave you the practice. None of them were around. It's all been virtual.
You know, you sit there and say, okay, the biggest concern when someone has it is a spread. You know, how do we know? Gilmore, oh, my God, Cam, separate the planes. Gilmore's on one plane. Oh, no, Gilmore was on this plane. Who's around Gilmore? This is completely different. They haven't been on a plane together. They haven't traveled together. They haven't played. They didn't play last week. They haven't been around each other. So this might be the best shot of having a COVID test late in the week and actually play the game. But I would still tell you the next 2 days is still important.
See, I think they should play the game because I think you've got to fight through this. We said this when we started all of this months ago, that if you are going to give in with one or two guys testing positive, then you're going to be postponing and canceling an awful lot of games. You have to fight through it. Now, as for playing on Sunday, if you get another test tomorrow morning, do you think the league is going to allow Denver to get on that plane if there's another positive test tomorrow morning? I think the safer way to do it, they're not going to give up the game, but if they can move it to Tuesday, and let's remember last Tuesday, they got better ratings on Tuesday night football than they did with Monday night football. The league might look at it and say, this satisfies everybody. We give it an extra couple days. Yeah. Denver doesn't have to sit around and if we have additional Patriot test and sit around Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they don't have to.
See, I think this exercise is futile. For one, if you're Denver, you don't want to fly out to Boston, play Tuesday, get back early in the morning Wednesday, then you have a game against the Chiefs.
Sunday, right?
Yeah, a game against the Chiefs. They don't want that. You'd have to end up moving the Chiefs game.
Move that game.
Okay, but I think, Lou,
to Monday,
that they already kind of know that they're playing. And I would say just follow the signs.
How do they know?
Follow the signs. I'll tell you.
There are no signs.
You tell me. I'm going to give you the signs. You tell me after you read the signs.
Go ahead, read the signs. Okay, read the signs.
This morning, Devin McCourty was on.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman was on.
Yeah.
Jed Fish talked to the media. Josh McDaniels talked to the media.
That's before they shut everybody down.
It is before. However, when do you think they knew about this?
Last night.
When do you think? So if you think they knew about it last night, just based on, you know, what they've been doing, they probably would not have allowed these guys to speak. They would have pulled Julian Edelman. They would have pulled Devin McCourty. They would have pulled Josh and Jed Fish. They would have pulled them all. Okay, but they let them speak with the understanding, with their understanding that they have already talked to the doctors.
I think
they had already did the
this.
Protocol, and they said, you know, we're playing.
Yeah, I think there's an answer to this, though, to your sign, because we're seeing teams do it, and we saw the Indianapolis Colts do it as well. So what they did was they do the original test. So they probably did know last night, as some people are reporting, that there was a positive test. But what they do is they come back and give additional tests, but because we're finding out right now that there are false positives, right? Isn't Nick Saban claiming, wink, wink, that he's got a false
stop
positive?
It. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They don't break the law out
but
there,
but that's
Bama.
What they did. So they knew last night, maybe, that there were a positive test, maybe two positive tests, and then they're waiting to see if they can get him across the threshold with another test that comes out negative.
Can I ask the question? Have you ever seen so many false positives as you've seen in the NFL?
No,
in the last
there's a
two
lot.
Weeks?
There's a lot.
I mean, with any other like sport, like baseball, a lot of positives. I don't know if any of them are false positives. Like in football, I feel like you're getting four or five a week, aren't you?
Hey, I got a guy that could give you a test.
What lab are they using is what I want to know. Yeah. But Glenn, you might be right. You know, because it's one of those things where because Evan Lazar was the guy that said the Patriots knew the positive test last night, source said. Says they could have practiced today under NFL protocol with players wearing masks, face shields, etc., whatever. But Belichick decided to cancel practice out of caution. That's pretty consistent with the way Bill, I think, has handled this stuff for the last couple of weeks. But they very well could have been like, listen, we're not going to call everything off until we can retest these so-called positives to make sure that they are positives. So let's do our morning little whatever. Run out there at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, do your talks. But they shut down the media today. And the media, and then they came out. They came out and announced. The Patriots announced that you won't hear from the New England Patriots until after the game, which might be one of your hints after the game.
Standard
so they think
operating
a game.
Procedure. Standard operating procedure. That's what I think.
But
it
will
is.
It be Sunday? Because I still think tomorrow morning. You know, again, wake up 7:30, 7:45, 8 o'clock. You know, like Devin McCourty said, it's like Christmas. I wake up every day, but I hope that I don't see something on Twitter. You get another positive on Saturday, or another Byron Coward positive on Sunday. Different player, obviously. You think they play at 1 o'clock on Sunday?
I just feel like they, well, I mean, I sit there and go, they would hope they would, but hope's got nothing to do with it.
Oh.
Well, you know, what's right, what's fair has got nothing to do with it. I would say that they already know based on, we already know that it's James Ferentz. James Ferentz is put on the reserve COVID 19 list.
Well, we don't,
no,
we don't
it,
know
it
that.
Says it. No, no,
we don't know that.
Well, you don't know it. That's a false report.
No, they placed
Tyler
him on reserve.
To you
hold
works.
On. I said they placed him on the COVID reserve list.
Yes.
That right. doesn't mean that he has COVID. That means that he's on that list, okay, to be determined later. Because based on, you know, just the way the bylaws work with COVID, they doesn't mean he necessarily has it. He just maybe would have been around somebody. So they put him on the reserve list. I mean, isn't Odell Beckham Jr. on the reserve COVID list? He's got the sniffles.
No, he's not.
They just sent him home.
Right.
They just sent him home.
It's different. So
yeah, it's a different symptoms-wise.
You could be in contact with somebody. They're using this contact tracing device. And if you're in contact with somebody over a long period of time, they put you on that list. And you have to go, is it Tyler? It's 2 negative tests, right? I think you have to have 2 negative tests
correct.
To get off of that list. So we don't know. Ferentz could be just on that list, and another player could be the one who tested positive. The Patriots are not going to tell you. They're not going to give you that description. But, Christian, you sit there and say, they already know they're going to play the game on Sunday. No, they're hoping that they're going to play the game on Sunday. But as we've learned with this virus, everything changes every single
okay,
day.
Okay, I'm not saying that you may not get a positive test tomorrow.
And what happens if you do?
On.
What do you think happens
I know,
if you do?
But based on the information, based on what they know now, I think they believe, based on the positive test that they have right now of the guys that they've identified, they've already done the homework on those guys, the new cases as of this morning, as of today. So based on those guys and the situation they're in right now, they are playing. That's what I think. Now, of course, that can change if tomorrow you have 5 cases or Sunday morning you have 2
cases. Suppose you get one
tomorrow.
Suppose you get one. What do they do?
Okay, well, hold on. Okay, what is your standard operating procedure? Okay, hey, coach, we have one. Sure, there is. You test them. You do the whole contact tracing. You call Dr. Sills. You look at the video. And then you determine who's at risk.
Okay, let me do this. Let's go on this premise.
Why is that? Why
would you
freak out?
Let's go on this premise. Why do we what?
Nobody needs to freak out. There's nothing wrong. This is what you do.
I appreciate the fact that you're trying to calm down the world. And the world is out of control right now. And it's a very admirable thing that you're trying to do. What I'm trying to tell you is that if we're looking at how this thing works, we never know from day to day. Now, I thought it was Tommy Curran today who brought up the possibility that this could be a leftover case, right? That it could have been tracked down from
sure.
somebody else. But is it also possible if James Ferentz is the one that tested positive, that he just got it from somebody else 2 days ago?
Okay, let me.
And then so tomorrow he's been around other players yesterday mm-hmm. in practice, and maybe tomorrow 2 other players that were around Ferentz end up testing positive.
I'll ask you
and
this.
Then what do we do?
As it stands right now, Lou.
Yeah.
Do you think they know that they can play the game right now tonight? Do you think that they believe that they can play the game as it stands with the contact tracing, with the guys that got a positive test? Do you think that they believe that they can play based on the information that they have
yes.
gathered? Yeah, so do I.
Do I think that could change?
Oh, yeah, so do I.
Yes.
Of course. Well, no.
I mean, one more positive in the next
okay,
couple of days. I think
that's
it all
obvious.
Changes.
Okay, let me follow that up with a question to you, Christian. I'll follow that up with a question to you. Do you believe that the NFL has contacted CBS and talked about the possibility of can we get an opening window at 5:30 on Tuesday night to play a game? Because we might possibly have to move that game. Okay, that's what they're doing. So we're going day to day.
And that's my point. So as of where it stands right now, the question was, are they going to play on Sunday? My answer right now, with the information I have and with the science that I think I see with the players talking and then them shutting it down, because the league didn't shut it down. Bill shut it down again. So right now, every player is going to bed thinking that they are playing on Sunday.
Yes.
The Denver Broncos are assuming that they are getting on a plane Saturday at 1.
Given what we was shoved down our throat last week for like 6-7 days, do you think guys in that roster don't want to play on Sunday?
On the Patriots
roster?
There's
another so-called, quote, boycott or
you can say strike.
Strike,
no.
I should say? because that's all I heard, you know, like on Sunday. You know, I think Tommy Curran said the fact they didn't play on Monday night was 100% because of the Patriots players. They didn't want to play, you know, which, I mean, Mike Lombardi said he didn't agree with that. Players don't make that call. The NFL does. And I agree with Mike Lombardi. I don't agree that the players made that call Monday night because another positive test came out and they didn't feel like the league was out for their best interest. So, okay, we got another positive test. I don't know. You tell me. The Patriots, that's what I was told last week.
100% the Patriots.
Are they going to refuse to play this week?
No. Okay. If we've learned anything is that the Patriots, the Patriot players
have no
now,
pull.
Hold on. No, they have a ton of pull.
They have no pull whatsoever.
They have more pull than any organization.
No pull. They don't set the protocol for the NFL, Ben Volen. I'm sorry, Tommy. I love you to death, but it wasn't 100% on them. If the league said you're playing Monday night, they would have played Monday night.
We're going to say sorry, Foye.
If not,
you're wrong.
Then we could talk about forfeits. If the Patriots refuse to play on Sunday because they don't feel right, then we're talking forfeits.
Okay, but hold on. The one thing we've learned now, every single player has been talking about, they've been gushing. They've been like, it's like they're little teenage girls at a boy band concert when they talk about Bill Belichick. Oh, my God, he's the best.
Yes.
Oh, he looks after us. He cares for us. Oh, my God.
Bears love him.
Oh, my God, Bill's here.
Great recruiter.
I mean, so, yeah, I feel like whatever Bill says now, they trust, they believe in, they're okay with. Bill's not gonna put us in a position where we're at risk. So we're going to trust Bill. Lou, I mean, Glenn, don't you feel like that's what the guys are saying now?
Yes, and I think you got it from Devin McCourty, and you're getting it from Isaiah Wynn and other guys that I think they're looking at it differently now. And a big part of it might be the way that Bill's handling it, where Bill has been the taskmaster in the past, preparation, practices, everything. And now what he's preaching is health is and safety comes first. Here's the second one, guys. They're finding out that the guys that are testing positive are asymptomatic.
Yeah.
They're not getting anything. Nobody's getting sick and dying. Now, they're scared initially when they're finding out that over 200,000 Americans have died. It's freaking you out. For an example, 23 people died yesterday in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. 17 of those were in nursing homes. We know the statistics. We know the demographics of it. I think the players now understand because they're seeing it every day that, okay, so Cam Newton's getting it. He's fine. I'm talking to Cam. Cam, how are you? I'm fine. I'm feeling nothing. Everything seems fine. I don't even have a cold here. So I think that they're seeing it and saying it's not a threat to them. Now, they may be acting differently in their regular life. Are they going into hotels? Are they not sitting down with their mother or their father or their grandfather or grandmother? They may be doing and handling their interaction with other people who are in harm's way, but they know that as a professional football player, they're pretty safe with this, guys, even if they test positive.
No, I agree with you, but the most important thing is we felt like we were being taken advantage of during after that Kansas City game. We have been reassured that Bill is not going to let the league push us around. So Mike Lombardi says, "Nah, no, the league sets that." Nah.
Yes, they do.
I don't believe everything Lombardi says.
I know,
says,
but you don't
believe
players call off games. The league's going to say,
"I never said they called off the game." I never said that. My point was, I think that they were in a precarious position, and Devin McCourty talked about it today. When they asked him about, hey, you know, do you think there was a strike? He wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't talk about a rebellion. But in my opinion, when I heard it, I was like, oh. To me, I read into it. There was a small pause. There was a little bit of disgust. And he was a little irritated.
There were some reports, Devin, that there was a near revolt in the Patriots locker room over this. How accurate are those reports? How many players were upset? Can you let us in on that a little bit?
No, I never go off reports. I just try to talk about what's actually said, and I think whatever's said in our locker room should always kind of be kept in our locker room.
Okay, maybe I'm reading into it a little bit.
That's the biggest non-answer I've ever heard. You're like, maybe Devin McCourty said it all.
Maybe I read into it just a little bit.
By the way, for Greg Hill, it wasn't near riot. It was strike. They're going to strike.
I heard a little bit of irritation. I did. That's for me. Now, again, maybe I'm looking for something that isn't there.
Listen, I think that NFL players and maybe professional athletes on the whole are starting to get a better understanding of how this could affect them. So this is Vic Fangio, the coach of the Denver Broncos, the team that may be coming here on Sunday. And he talks about how COVID has changed everything for so many people.
I know a lot of people have had their lives interrupted in a very negative way, whether it be through the illness itself, whether it be through losing their job, whether it be through having to take a pay cut, which I know some of y'all had to go through in the off season, which I was sad to see, believe it or not. You know, nobody deserves that. And some small businesses, people that have worked their whole lives to establish a business, are really struggling right now. And I know some small business owners from all over the country where I've been, and they're struggling. And luckily here in the NFL so far, as players and coaches, we haven't missed any paychecks. So we're just going to keep fighting through and consider us lucky. I know a lot of people.
He's right. They are lucky because the chances of
perspective,
right? The chances of survival for these guys is over 99.7. They're not losing. None of them are losing their jobs. So they are lucky right now. And he gets it. He understands it.
No, I think it's good to hear. Woo! It's good to hear, Coach.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Totally fine. It's good to hear, Coach.
What's happening?
Interesting aroma in there.
I don't know. It's like it's working with children. Yeah, they can't just go on.
Wait, you're just figuring that out.
You just can't go on.
You're figuring that out, Lewis.
You can't just move on. But, I mean, with everything going on in the world today, is it really that big of an issue? You know, with everything going on in the world.
That's true. What I'm willing to deal with, I don't know about you guys, but as you're is the amount of stuff you're willing to deal with more now than it used to be? Like, are you willing to put
acceptance.
Up with more issues? Are you accepting
more
issues? Yeah, I guess you do.
What's your choice?
You could just
lose your mind.
Yeah, you can go
drink
nuts.
More wine at tequila.
You turn into a Karen. I mean, those the people who turn into the Karens and the nut jobs of the world, that people that call 911 because there's a party. Hopefully, we can do that. A little later on, like those people who lose it. I like the fact that Vic Fangio not only talked about like his team, but really it really comes down to like quit your bitching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to hear you bitching and complaining. There's other people out here that have much bigger issues. You football players, you got it damn well.
Yeah.
You get tested every single day. You're catered to left and right. You fly privately. If you're not happy or if you don't feel secure, we'll put you up in a hotel. So to me, it's you got everything you need.
Yeah, like you said, you get tested daily. If it comes back positive, then we'll actually take that and retest it again.
Yeah.
To make sure it is positive. How many people out there can do that?
Or if you're the coach of like a really popular team, you'll test negative in you'll test positive in quotes, and then you'll get a false positive.
Yeah, well, the big part of this is the hysteria that's out there where people see it and it becomes a major story. It was a breaking story today. A New England Patriot player tested positive. Now, does anybody believe that that player is in jeopardy of getting really sick and dying?
No,
right now.
What's
I think
going
we know
on?
The numbers.
No, it's right now in the league, and luckily, no one's been it's symptoms, and everybody is just fine. But right now, it is about okay. How do I go through this? It's about playing baseball. It's about playing football, rather. It's about playing games, you know. And it's about what is accepted, and we got to be careful, and we got one test on a Friday. We play the game because we plow through it. Only to get four more on Monday. And then what did we do? You know, and now we got to shut down the facility again for the week. And it's, how do we try to squash it? So they're praying to God that Tennessee is done. They don't have to worry about Tennessee anymore. Right? And they want the, they're just waiting for New England to get through it too. And it just sort of, okay, they're trying to get through some of these teams and just be like, all right, we got to clean this thing up. You know, baseball after the first 2 or 3 weeks has stayed clean. So that's where they want to get to where this isn't an issue. But, you know, I just, and they're just hoping that for the next 2 days that the Patriots don't get another positive. I don't know what you do if you wake up Sunday morning at 7:38 and there's another positive on the Patriots and you roll a game out there at
it
one.
It is pretty, I mean, I'm sure it can, you can make you pretty anxious. But for me, like, I don't know. I heard it. I don't know. I didn't flinch. Maybe because I'm just, you know,
you're a tough guy. You can fight.
That is true. Obviously, you know
you didn't
that.
You didn't think. Oh my God, are they gonna? Here we go
oh
again.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, well, here we go again.
I thought, but here's what I thought. Okay, fine. It happened. I feel like they have the necessary means and willingness to figure it out. How about that? Like what the Tennessee Titans showed me, what the Patriots showed me, is that they're willing to push through it. And everything I hear from the players is just we're going to figure it out. If we have the capacity to figure it out, then we're going to do it. If we have to sacrifice, we're okay with it.
See, I would also say that what the Patriots went through and what the Tennessee Titans went through, I think the first time it hits your locker room, I think is a little bit of a shock. Okay? Because I think that obviously it hits home more than reading about other locker rooms. So the Patriots had their shock week. And maybe they got, you know, more educated on the whole thing. Maybe Bill did bring some guy in and make him feel a little bit better and try to understand it and saw that, you know, okay, this can work. We can do this. We can do that. And maybe they're okay. Maybe they're better to handle it. A guy like Devin McCourty, you know, Jason McCourty, they're all in now. They understand it better. They saw how it affected their team, and they kind of keep moving forward. I just think with every single team, if it hits their locker room, it's like, Jesus. You know, no, I didn't think it would hit our team. I mean, I heard about New England and Tennessee, but I didn't think it'd be hit our team. And then there's that hysteria, you know, and that like, oh my God, what are we doing? Am I safe? I think I've been around him. I don't know if I've been around him. Am I a close contact? Am I high risk? So I think there's a lot of panic within organizations that haven't had to deal with it now, yeah, as opposed to what New England's gone through the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think New England, and you heard it in the players' voices the last couple of days, I think they have a much better understanding what it means to them, what it means to their teammates and their life. But you can't tell me this morning, because it was breaking news at 8 o'clock this morning, the Indianapolis Colts have, what, 4 tests. They came back positive, and people are freaking out. It becomes
You used to it, though? I mean, aren't you, honest to God, aren't you kind of used to it?
Yeah, but there's a huge difference of... if you hear that some person, whether it be a celebrity, a politician, or whatever, that is up there in age, that's 75, that's
Chris
80,
Christie.
That's 85. Okay, well,
Christie, ICU.
Yeah, right, exactly. When you hear somebody it's that's up there in age, weight. You sit there and say, oh, this could be a problem. When you heard that Cam Newton test positive, did you really believe that was a major health risk for him?
No, I didn't, but it was more by, oh, crap,
but why did we react that way? Why do
I think
Florio's and everybody screaming, well, we've got to do something about
this. You got two groups reacting, you know, differently. Florio, whatever. A lot of people, you know, writing articles about this is what happens when you play in a pandemic. They shouldn't play. They're risking the player's health, life, everything else. You got the other crew that are panicking because they're thinking they might not play football on Sunday. Like, see what I mean? So... some people are worried about the health. Some people are worried about just getting a game in.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not going to play. Now what are they going to do? Week 18, schedule change. It's more about football and the schedule and maybe their fantasy team or what they're going to do than it is really worried about health. That's one group. The other group's all about health.
Yeah, but you downplay the whole Bill Belichick, you know, that whole experiment of him shutting down the facility on Friday. I feel like that was an unbelievable investment last Friday when he shut down the facility on his own. I feel like that was money in the bank. I feel like it's money in the bank.
Either one of us downplayed it.
I think that was money in the bank because what he did.
Oh, team unity. I think it was great.
Here's what he did is like he just built up so much goodwill equity with the players.
We agree.
So much goodwill equity because there was a risk of them really kind of, you know, pushing their own weight around. And he came and said, I'll take care of it. So now, really, whatever he says, whatever he decides that they should do, they're going to say yes. Yes, you got it, no matter what. Now, I don't know what the other teams are going to do. The other teams are going to probably look to them for some sort of inspiration. That's what I would be doing. What'd you guys do? What's your coach like? Vic Fangio seems like he's got it on lock.
But either one of you, would you be surprised if over the weekend we find out that it hits some other team? It hits the Chicago Bears. And then Monday we hear from the Giants.
It hasn't hit Tampa. That's weird.
I know, right?
I don't know why I was thinking about Tampa. It's like a, it's weird the teams that it hits. Well, maybe it's, I don't know. I have no idea why.
Didn't they get hit before the season started? Wasn't there a few? Didn't they have a few guys?
Yeah, Tampa did. They have a coach, assistant coach. Yeah, because remember that was part of the problem with Brady out there in the park. They weren't just practicing
when things were going a little haywire there for a while in Florida. They were practicing while they actually had people in their organization test positive as well. And it was a lot going on down there in Tampa. So that, I think that was part of it. But you're right. They haven't been hit yet. A lot of teams haven't been.
So we can tell you the game is still on as of today. It is still on. We'll see whether that is going to remain that way on Monday. We'll get more into the game and what it all means. And Christian brought it up. If you're planning on having a house party in Boston this weekend, there may be some issues. We'll get to all of that coming up right here on OML.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't even know who this one is.
I was going to say, don't ask me, please.
I have no idea.
Clapton? Who is this?
This is the great John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, John Frusciante. You should have known that.
Never would have known John Frusciante.
Related to Justin.
John Frusciante.
So let me throw this one out at you because we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell did not go to the Miami Dolphins. He did not go to the New England Patriots. He ended up going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, big, huge score for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Agreed. I mean, nobody's going to debate that. It was big for them. Are we pissed off that he didn't come to New England? Is it a killer here? Is
it... should you be pissed off?
Yeah,
should you? You should be worried. You should feel. What? You should be sad. You should just actually, you know what? Cash in your chips right now and just sit on the sideline
today. That was your goal.
No. We don't do Aloha Friday anymore. No, listen, I'm done being delusional. The reality is that the Chiefs just got so much better. The fact is that the Chiefs are now you. Like, the Chiefs are now what you used to be.
Okay.
Everybody wants to go to Kansas City, eat some custard, win Super Bowls, be in the mix every single time, be in the discussion for the next 10 years at least.
Oh, no, stop it with the 10
least.
Years.
At least.
I'll give you five.
Yeah.
What do you mean five?
Because you're going to have too many guys
years.
That are gonna, no.
Yeah, for 20 years.
Once they start paying Mahomes big money, everybody else is going to have to get big money. They're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to pay
less
everybody.
To play there.
No, I think your point is that, you know, they showed interest in Leonard Fournette, and he went to Tampa to be with Tom. And maybe they showed interest in this guy, Le'Veon Bell. and he went to Kansas City to be with Mahomes. Like, there was a time when a player like that, what was it, Ryan Clark, right, used to play safety for the Steelers, who's now on, I think it's ESPN.
Yeah.
Yes.
Famously said, you know, if the Patriots go out and get this guy, like the next great free agent that just gets released, I'm going to quit or something like that, right? Because it just seemed like everyone that was got cut or available for circumstances like this. Got
for
like
me, going forward, I'm very interested to see what they would ask for, what they would take, and where this goes. And if he goes to the Patriots, I'm letting you know now, it's the last day I will work for ESPN because I'm tired of this and I can't take it no
more. It's not even fair.
And if they get another good player, I'm done.
And you know that player was Richard Sherman.
Yeah, it's not even fair.
But this is the type of player that gets released but still good, right? Like Le'Veon Bell and Leonard Fournette, whatever. And they didn't. And they normally do. And they didn't. You know, because you're not the draw anymore. That's why, you know, a good wide receiver gets released like these guys, right? It just doesn't fit. Whatever. They got issues. You're like, oh, he's going to New England. He wants to play with Tom and Bill and have a chance to win. No. Nope. Not at all.
See,
he's going to Green Bay. He's not going to Seattle.
Right. It's not about the money right now. It's about going and being with a championship team. And for Le'Veon Bell, he goes from the worst team to the best team in the league. And he makes the better.
I mean, you called it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how miserable he was. And now, like, think about the environment that he's in. Everybody's competitive. Everybody's good. Everybody knows that they're going to win. I mean, that to me. So the two options were what we talked about yesterday, Miami or Kansas City. And if you go to Miami, you know you're going to request or demand multi-year deal because really, why go for 1 year? It's Miami. You better give me a bunch of money so it's worth my while. But for Kansas City, I'll take a flyer. I'll go 1 year. I'll go prorated. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I know at the end of the year, I'm going to be playing in meaningful games. To me, it's like the rich just got richer.
So the Patriots are in a totally different position, and a position that's different even than last year where they went and threw all the money for Antonio Brown, okay, and then had to go scramble to try to see if they could get it back in the end. They're no longer in that position. They're in a position right now of trying to rebuild to get back to that level again. So I think, and especially with what we're going to be dealing with in the offseason, with the cap number and where they're in such good shape right now, we have no idea where the league's going to go. We've already spent a lot of time talking about Cam Newton and how they could bring him back for 1 year or they could move on. They're in a much different position. So I can understand it. They're not going to pay a lot of money for Le'Veon Bell. So they weren't going to outpay Kansas City. So Le'Veon Bell's looking at it saying, the money's the same. I'm going to Kansas City.
I would say, Patriot fans, how do you feel? How do you
feel? I feel fine today.
You know what? I would say, I think the realization of where you're at as far as a competitive nature, where the pecking order, like it's changed so drastically. Like you're not in the conversation.
Yeah, but
you're not
a
contender.
A long period of time.
I know, but it's hard giving it up.
Do you think Patriot fans are all pissed off? I don't. I think they've looked at it.
I think they're lying to themselves.
They're not lying to themselves.
They've had a long run. Oh, yeah, they
they've
do.
Had a long run. Some of the things you provided for them. You provided some of that
Glenn,
run
you,
for
you
them.
Really think that they're not lying to themselves? They think this is an 11-5.
No.
They think this is a 12-4 team. They think they're going to win the division.
The guy earlier said they're going to win 11 games.
A lot of people think they're going to win a lot of games.
I think you're fooling yourself if you think a lot of Patriot fans think that this team is a 12-4 team. I think they know what it is. They know with the coaching and with the defense that they have an opportunity to be competitive.
I think we ran a poll. I think 77% think they're a playoff team in New England, which isn't a surprise.
Well, playoff team is not much anymore because you have seven teams in
there. It's actually
lower, I could see them.
lower than I thought. But no, I was actually impressed with Le'Veon Bell. You know, I thought that he would go somewhere where he wanted playing time, but, you know, he wanted to go somewhere and win, which I was happy to see because I didn't really know. He's always been about the money, but he went there, and I think he makes them that much better. I think when you look at this offense, quite frankly, they've been disappointing, if you ask me. Kansas City? They haven't been what I thought. So
their defense is the problem still.
Offensively, I'm talking about, they haven't been what I thought. They've had basically, Pat Mahomes has had two good games. He's played five, like two. You know, I think offensively, I think they're eighth or ninth in the league in points. That's not what I thought they were going to be. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact, what you've seen the last 2 weeks, is that they feel they can throw against anybody. And teams are rushing 3-4 like Vegas did, like the Patriots did, and it ain't working. So they need to run the football more, which getting Le'Veon Bell, I think that's more of a running attack.
Maybe.
It'll help.
We'll see. And there are some people who think that Le'Veon Bell might have taken a step back. We'll find out what happens when he goes to Kansas City, that he's not the same player that he was in Pittsburgh. But to me, the thing that I think Kansas City still needs, and Mike Lombardi talked about their offensive line, I think he's right about that, because you're right. They're rushing 3, they're rushing 4, and they're getting a lot of pressure on Mahomes before he can get separation from the quickest receivers in the National Football League. I would be more fearful of Kansas City if they got another big run stopper, because that really is how, if you're going to beat Kansas City in a playoff game, if you're Tennessee, you're just going to run the ball at them. That's what you're going to do. That's how you're going to beat Kansas City. Keep Mahomes
Kansas
off
City,
the field. They already have the best offense in the league. How much? You get better than what? Better than the best? The defense is where they need real help.
I think you overstate that. I mean, they beat the living hell out of the best running offense in football, the Ravens. And then last year, I mean, I don't think they've had a completely different makeshift defense that won a Super Bowl that made Derrick Henry, who was running through everybody, look pedestrian. They beat the Ravens. They always beat the Ravens. So, yeah, I think teams realize they have to run the ball against them, but I think when it matters most, they've shown that they're fine.
Well, their defense allowed Brian Hoyer to move up and down the field, and if he didn't bleep his pants twice in big plays, the Patriots might have won that freaking game. Why? Because Brian Hoyer was able to move the offense against Jarrett Stidham was able to move the offense against that defense.
Listen, I'm not saying they have a great defense, okay, but they have the same defense that they had last year when they won
their
the Super Bowl.
Their offense is best in the league.
No, it's not. Now you're starting to talk, though. The offense is not. The offference is eighth in the league.
Oh, I think their offense is the best in the league.
It's not. It should be, but it's not performing. Glenn, they're eighth in the league in points. They haven't, out of five games, I think they've only scored over 30, like twice. From this team? You think that's what you expected out of this team? I didn't.
They have great playmakers. They have the best quarterback in the league.
It's not getting enough.
That's a great offense.
Okay, but you're
missing
the point.
They're
not looking like it, though. They're not looking like you thought. And it's because...
You're looking at a tiny sample. You really are. Le'Veon Bell adds another good player, and I would say this, that Edwards-Helaire, who knows? He's a rookie. Who knows what the durability is? Can he stay upright? I don't know.
All I'm saying is that like I said, they're eighth in the league in points. They're 12th in the league in yards per play. Like, that is, you talk about underperforming. Sorry, they are, with the talent they have. And I think a lot of that has to do with how they've approached the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think I would look at their offense right now. If I were trying to fix the Kansas City Chiefs and make them better, would look at it and say, boy, they really got to go get some more help on that offensive side of the ball. Maybe the offensive line, I would say. I don't think they necessarily need another skilled player on the offense. I really don't.
Have the Patriots ever said, oh, I don't want any more skilled position players?
No, you add as many players as you can. I'm not saying it's a negative to add Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying that, guys. I think I've been... pretty persistent in saying that. I'm just saying I think they would have been better off if they could have added a stud in the defensive line to prevent other teams from just running the football and keeping the ball out of that great offense's hands. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. To me, once again, there's another sign of where the Patriots are at as far as bright lights, big city. Like the attractive,
that,
the attractive, because you would think,
obvious?
Hey, wait, well, all I heard was the
what
last couple
hear?
Days when it came to Le'Veon Bell on every platform was, hey, they got this, they got Bill, and they got Cam Newton. Cam Newton.
Who said this?
We played it during our show yesterday. We played it during our show. I don't know who actually said it, but Cam Newton was your proposed draw. Your draw. Hey, they got Cam Newton. Like, that's an asset. Like, that's the reason why you should, hey, Cam Newton, call up Le'Veon Bell and convince him to play here. Yeah, for like pennies on the dollar.
I think all three of us said yesterday that they weren't getting Le'Veon Bell. I remember saying they were not going to get Le'Veon Bell. I think you said it too, Lou. Not going to get Le'Veon Bell. Because it makes more sense for Le'Veon Bell. If you want the money and you want the multi-year contract because you're 28 and you're a running back, and at 28, you are at death's door, okay, as a player. that if you want the money, you go to Miami. Get the multi-year deal and you get the money. Mm. If you want to win right now, you go to Kansas City. You don't come to New England. You go to Kansas City. That's where you go. And they were the two teams that were interested along with the Patriots.
If I'm Le'Veon Bell, why would I not go to New England? You know what I mean? You get to play with Cam Newton, an offense that could use you because they've had some injuries.
Who said that?
That is Tiki Barber.
Oh, God.
Hall of Fame running back.
There was a lot of people that felt like he should have went there.
It is. It's an asset. I'm telling you, the thing is
that people are thinking that way.
But it still exists, and I think Fitzy that's my point.
Fitzy thought that way too, right, Fitzy?
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you want, if you had two goals, one, I only want to go where the money is. I'm going for the money. Well, you're not going to get it from the Patriots. All right, well, okay, if I can't get the money, well, I want to go to a contender. That's still not the Patriots. So there was not one box that you checked.
No.
Not one.
Yeah, that's the role of the Patriots.
Oh, here it is. Cam Newton. Hey, Cam Newton, can you do us a solid? Can you call him
but
up?
See, tell him
how cool it is here.
I just look at Kansas City, for example. You got Hilaire. Who's the backup to Hilaire? Exactly. So you go to New England, and it's like, Damian Harris, Rex Burkhead, James White, Sony sitting on the IR. He could be back. There's depth. That doesn't do it for me. You know, I know I could go there. Like, when they drafted Hilaire, they already had Damian Williams, who very easily could have been MVP of that Super Bowl. And he's a good running back. He was very good for them last year.
Yeah, he was.
So it's like, okay, this is our plan. Like, we had this plan, Le'Veon. We're going two running backs. We like the kid Hilaire, but, you know, he's still a rookie. And your presence, by the way, could learn off you, but you're our guy. So I just think that by them balancing this offense, they might fix some of the issues they had so far early in this season. Because I do think they've underperformed, and I think he's going to help them a lot, an awful lot.
Well, we'll see. I still think the defensive player would have shored up what I believe is their Achilles heel right now. But you're right about Edwards-Helaire. I would say this. He's undersized. We all know that. He's one of these guys that sneaks underneath you, and who knows? You know, how much abuse can he take? How many hits can he take during the course of the season?
They have no
season?
Back behind him.
Huh? Right.
Nothing.
No. Listen, there's no question that this is a helpful move for them. I'm not sure it changes the whole scheme of it. I think offensively, they were already there. I don't think that was an issue. Kansas City Chiefs, in the end, Lou, maybe not through four games, in the end, I will guarantee you they will be one of the top teams, top two or three teams in offense.
Shocker.
In all of those offensive categories.
Yeah. Question for you guys.
Defensively,
now
I think
it's
a problem. What's that?
Patriots question for you guys.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell is acquired by the Patriots. He is their blank best receiver. Second best receiver?
First.
He's their
so
first.
Why would Bill Belichick not trade for what is considered a bad contract for a low draft pick?
Wait, so why would he trade for him when he was with the Jets?
$6 million.
If you think he's the best receiver on your team, why not trade a fifth round draft pick and absorb a bad contract, which you have $35 million in cap space? The money's not a big problem for you at all.
Sure it is. It's a big problem because you're trying to build for 2021, 2022. In 2020, that $6 million may prevent you from doing something next year because they can move that money, Tyler.
So why don't you just cut them out for the year and forget about that next year's salary?
Because you Isn't can't that take that $6 million and move it into next year.
No, listen, the point is, Bill Belichick, you know, just like with Fournette, thought he should have traded for him because I think once he hits free agency, he wouldn't choose you, and he didn't. Le'Veon Bell, same thing. Maybe that's your argument for going out and trading the guy. And the one reason, because I didn't think you needed him here, but the one thing that was intriguing is that he could be a slot wide receiver.
Yes.
He could be a wide receiver, period. Yeah. And you could have running back depth playing wide receiver. And then Josh could move him around.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to go whatever, why have him back there and be like, nope, actually he's in the slot now.
Yeah.
So he intrigued me more as a wide receiver because I agree. I think he would be your best. He would be your best wide receiver. And if you believe in this team, which we all think, you know, Bill is like, he's going to try to win as many games as he can. Isn't the investment worth it? Or does he just not care about this team?
All right, coming up next, guys, we're a little bit concerned if you're planning on having a house party in Boston this weekend. Marty Walsh has some absurd comments calling you all out. We will do it next on Last Call. Hi, Mutt.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
And I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Let's go!
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Great time to clean out that garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids, now offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or online at carsforkids.com. Well, the mayor here in the city of Boston, Marty Walt, says there are too many house parties going on right now. He's going to do something about it. Marty is going to crack down on the illegal house parties. But listen to how he's going to do it with this new phone number to call.
If you have a house party and you're concerned about it, we ask you, you can call 911 and we will work on making sure that we follow up. If we don't get there immediately, we will be following up with the tenants in the apartment, with the homeowner in the apartment, and with the overall neighborhood. And folks that who have been going to these house parties, I certainly understand the need to socialize, but right now we need to focus on activities that don't cause this virus to spread. Roughly half of our new cases continue to be in people under the age of 30 years old.
Wait a minute, hold on. We're gonna turn 911, which is for emergencies, where people are calling because somebody's just been shot?
You can call 911.
We're going to turn 911 into the Karen hotline? Is that what we're doing here?
911, can we help you? Yes, there's a 15 people in my backyard on another house. I could see them. They're all out in the deck.
Do they have tequila?
Well, is anybody's life in danger? Yes, all of them and mine. Is there a weapon? Yes, it's called COVID. I need someone to come over here right away.
Are you in immediate danger?
Absolutely in immediate danger. Because I might see some of these people around and walking on the streets. But look at these people. No, that's what we're going to do with 911 calls. Like, you want to go over like what 911 is for and like how busy they are and how, you know, murders, killings, everything. Robberies. Can we just keep 911? Can we come up with another number, Marty?
Yeah.
You want people to just flood 911?
Isn't
with
this
concerns?
Just going to, they're going to be flooded with calls, and the real emergencies are going to go unanswered. This makes absolutely no sense.
To anyone who's hosting house parties, I'm urging you not to do it.
Okay. Don't we have another number we can call? 911? We're going to use it now for this?
We asked you, you can call 911.
Was he kidding?
What do you think the cops
did? Did he make a mistake?
I feel like he did. It is just, I can't believe the 911. Whoever runs it, I guess it's the city, actually said, yeah, okay, we'll take those calls too. Hey, you know what? It's not like we don't have enough on our plate. Let's go ahead and, you know, anyone who has a house party, which, I don't know, can you someone please define house party? What does that mean? A house party. And we're talking about...
Than 10 people.
Anything more than 10 people.
That's it.
Is considered a house party
in
Boston.
You're able to have 10 people.
Man, I'm there almost with my family.
Yes,
my family.
Right there. You're right.
Like
there.
If one of my kids has one friend over, house party, call the cops.
If we don't get there immediately, we will be following up with the tenants in the apartment, with the homeowner in the apartment, and with the overall neighborhood.
Those COVID lines are like flooded.
I mean, it's
now
ridiculous.
We're going to flood 911.
Well, there are a lot of people that have been looking for this. They're only there for you, brother. I'll be calling 911 if I see anybody here in Dorchester.
It's like a volunteer.
On a potty.
It's like a volunteer fireman.
Hey, Mutt. Hi, Mutt.
Losers.
Hey, Mutt.
They're all losers. Now, I thought you're right. I thought he made a mistake and was going to say, no, it's 311.
Yeah.
Or 511 is the highway number.
Whatever.
If he had an accident on the highway, he called 511.
Did not know that.
Now you learned something today.
I'm impressed.
Go. But he hasn't backed off, so I assume it's 911.
That was a mistake.
I'm going to start calling. So Kid and Play had that movie House Party, so it's like that.
Yes.
That's what you call, remember?
Kid and Play.
All right, I got a question. You guys are all parents, real quick.
Yeah.
So our town, they announced again today, as of today,
In 2 weeks, Halloween is on. Legit trick-or-treating in my town. Do I let my kids go trick-or-treating?
Yes.
I don't think trick-or-treat will survive. I think 2 weeks from now, they'll change their tune.
But right now, it's... Okay, you're the goalpost guy. Right now, it's on. Would you allow your kids to go trick-or-treating right now?
Well, if trick-or-treaters show up to your door, please call 911 immediately to report an emergency.
They're outside.
911, I got four, to follow up in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I got four kids outside my door right now gathering, and they're looking for candy. Can you please send someone over to arrest them? Thank you.
Lowell's finest.
I'm a yes.
What are you doing tonight, Mike?
It's a football night. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, is going to talk about Cam and the offense. And Mutt versus the World, 8 o'clock. I'm 2-0 against our guest in Mutt versus the World. Someone will try to beat me tonight at about 8 o'clock. So I'll be listening here until 10.
Let's go. Call there it is. Show. Weekend, please, boys. Do not call 911. It is not an emergency.
So terrific. The plan for the weekend is a 1 p.m. Sunday game. That means Christian with Wiggy and Keefe with NFL Sunday the game and after the game. Freddie Smirlis, Steve DiAzzi, and yours truly, and the Real
Don't worry, it'll be Tuesday night.
I fear that, Lou. And then if it all stays as is, it means 2 o'clock Monday and Bill Belichick with the fellas here on OMF. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday. We're out of here. Stay safe. Is it time to walk away?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.